Blog Talk Radio.
Elohim is the Almighty. Elohim is the Almighty. Elohim is the Almighty. Elohim is the Almighty.
There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross.
Drowned out by all the love and light. But check this out. Hey, Blog Talk, how you doing once again? This is Bishop Isaac. I'm doing a cross training in Virginia. It's too blessed to be stressed. We are at the Zion Baptist Church in Lightfoot. The location tonight is 6373 Richmond Road, Williamsburg, Virginia. That's 6373 Richmond Road, Virginia. I'm sorry. Let me do this over, because this whole radio thing has just been going haywire for me. It won't let me broadcast properly. So we are doing a cross training, and of course, cross training is Christ Restoration Overcome Signature Sense. And that's a division of the Christian Counseling Training Institute. I'm Labors for Christ Center for Reconstruction. I'm Dr. Nathaniel Isaac, founding bishop for this arm of the ministry on the East Coast. And so we're doing a training here in Williamsburg, and you can still come out, 6373 Richmond Road, Williamsburg, Virginia, 6373 Richmond Road, Williamsburg, Virginia, 23090. It is me. It's just, I don't know. It's like I just can't get it right tonight. I mean, no, we live. Nah, I ain't putting on this. It makes good radio. And so this seminar is free. Donations are definitely welcome. We're going to do some more cross training in the future, but we just want to get it jump started. The pastor wants to do it. Was too blessed to be stressed. And so I'm sorry for the mishap, the gaps within it. Please forgive me. I'm getting it right. I'll set it up better next time. You were supposed to be live 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It would have been 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, but the system didn't kick in until 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. So I don't care. At this moment, it is what it is. I hope you can listen to it. You'll be live. If you're definitely tuning in, we love you, and we just hope that you'll get a breakthrough through this. And once again, if you want to get in contact with me, you can go to our website link, Laborers with a U, Laborers, L-A-B-O-U-R-E-R-S, and that's laborersforchrist.wixsite.com/reconstruction. So that's laborersforchrist.wixsite.com/reconstruction. And so we're about to get ready for the second half, and we're going to, you know, they got food in their stomach, so they are full, and we're going to do everything not to get them sleepy, and we just want the Holy Spirit to move on behalf. So you are tuning in to Cross Training with Bishop Dr. Nathaniel Isaac. Pastor Tandika Isaac is sitting here. She's on the boards, and we are just having fun. And so we love you. Continue to pray for us. Once again, I'm so sorry of how this has turned out on the air. Oh, my God. But it is all good. So I'm going to play some more music. It was a song I thought. That was dope. Love it. She'll pick one. I don't know if I hear anything yet. Yeah, I think that's... That song. To give
you, give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me
you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. I'm silent.
All right, everybody, you all ready?
For so long, I did not have a song to pray.
This packet was designed to kind of be a study manual as well. There were some things in here. User-friendly. If it is not, feel free to give me a call and I can explain the process to you at any time, okay? But that's what it was meant to be. It was meant to be user-friendly so you can take it home and just begin to look at some things. Now, I have most of the information from here is derived out of these books that are up here. So, for example, A More Excellent Way. The Bible says that we have spirit, soul, and body, and I feel like his name is Henry Wright, A More Excellent Way. He wrote The Spiritual Root to All Diseases, Spiritual Roots. So, for example, he was, like a scripture says in the Bible, enviness is rottenness to the bone, envy. That's Proverbs, I believe, 14:30. So rottenness to the bones is what? Osteoporosis.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Arthritis. And things like that. You see what I mean? And so it's thinking it from that perspective. So he did a spiritual aspect of it. So he said things like fear, anxiety, stress, depression, broken relationships, most women with breast cancer. He said it's all sometimes, most of the cases he deals with, it is related to some broken relationship with a female. So women go through breast cancer because that's the nurturing part of them. And so you can usually tag that there's a broken relationship with either their sister, their mother might have died, or some connection with another woman. Testicular cancer for men would be some form of hatred towards self. Autoimmune disease that individuals have. So the body is attacking itself because you hate yourself. You create a thought of self-hatred, it starts attacking you.
Okay.
Because the thought has to materialize. That's his theory. There's another book, and this other one is actually free. We can PDF. Healing Sanctification Begins with the Heart. This is Dr. Strider. She writes at the Spirit, Soul, and Body. She does the body. So she takes this book and she verifies it by, as a doctor, medically showing that what he is saying is about accurate. And so they work hand to hand. I'm the soul piece. So as I study both of their work, I understand how it works with the soul, which you will see in your packet as we're talking about it. Experiencing God, I think it's a wonderful workbook, and the concept behind this book simply says this: God wants you to experience him at all levels, especially as believers. So you may have met him as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, and you may have met him as Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Well, the God that provides may not be quite accurate when I need righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Jehovah Tiskin. You see what I mean? And so God wants us to experience him at every aspect of who he is. And this book gives a jump start. Spiritual discipline. For those who don't like to read, this gives you maybe about 2 pages a chapter. And it's this little small thing that you can do that'll bring you closer to God. Like if you are the type to go through walks in the morning, it gives you some tips that you can use on your walk, prayer walk. Or if you're the type to meditate and exercise, there are some exercises that you can actually do. And this is Spiritual Discipline Handbook. Again, in your packet, all of that information is here. It's there. Another book, The Seventh Place with Jesus Shed His Blood. Some ministries say 5. The most important thing is Christ died, he shed his blood, and as a result of that, you are made free and whole. And you have rights as joint heirs to the promises of God. And so his theory behind this is because Christ shed his blood, you are free from certain things. The enemy's job is to keep us from not knowing that we are free, which is why he allows us to magnify certain ailments or sins in our lives so to keep us in bondage. The enemy knows the day you realize that you have been made free and whole, he's finished you. He's done for. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and I love this next part, and we love not our life when we're faced with death, which means we don't mind dying because we understand that to be with Christ is gain. You know what I mean? So, and be the presence of the Lord. So these are just some of the books that are here, up here, that I think are just good references. So the significance is a book that takes biblical terminology in the Bible, and it talks about words like propitiation. And you'll hear the preacher say, and redemption, and reconciliation, and you get the shouting. But then when you leave, you really don't know what it really means.
All right.
So his concept is, if I share or break down what the words mean, and you begin to apply it to your life, you'll experience some freedom. So, for example, I wrestled with a spirit of rejection. And so a word that the Bible uses is reconciliation. And so if I feel rejected all the time, then I'm going to always try to do everything I can to be accepted by others. That's called a people pleaser, right?
Right.
And that causes stress. And so reconciliation says God totally accepts. And if I allow myself to be accepted by God's love and I walk in that, then I'll experience a freedom. And then the lives of the enemy begin to shift away. And so that's kind of the concept. And I've taken all of that and I've put it in this packet so that you can begin to read it and work through it so that you can get your healing deliverance or take the material as leaders, because I know some of you are in ministry, and begin to help others get a breakthrough, okay? So, I have this package. It's easy read. Any questions, you can definitely go through. What I want to do in this hour is I want to kind of talk, I want to run through some of this stuff, but I want to kind of focus on some of the charts that are in there so that it'll definitely help you be able to see where we're going. So, you can all read stress, okay? You can read the information on stress. The bottom line is this, that I want you to take from this. Stress is our response to a change in the environment. It can either be positive or negative. Your body is going to react to this change physically, mentally, as well as emotionally, okay? And so there are three stages of stress. There is the alarm stage or the fight or flight. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is the second stage of resistance stage or acute long-term stress. Okay. And then the last stage is the exhaustion stage. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is this when it comes to stress. Stress was never meant to be in your body long-term. It was only meant to be there temporarily, so that you can be able to deal with the situation. So right now, if there's a growling dog standing in front of me, my response should not be this. Oh, no. There's a growling dog. I better get out of here really fast. Because the dog will bite me, right? But my response is going to be, oh. And that adrenaline inside of me is going to build up so that I can protect myself, either fight the dog or run away, okay? Now, the difference with anxiety is that when you have a thought about something stressful or you have a perception about something stressful, it begins to automatically cause a chemical reaction within you. So for individuals who have been physically and sexually abused as children, even though now they are not being physically or sexually abused, when they think about something or a trigger triggers off a thought or a memory of something that happened in the past, it puts them in an agitated state.
Mm-hmm.
And they become so agitated and angry that they're always defensive, and they walk through life defensive. And so if the cortisol hormone has been in their body for 20 to 30 years, it begins to eat away at certain tissues. We call that MS.
Yeah.
We call that lupus.
Mm-hmm.
See how this stuff starts to connect? Because the body can't make it can't process that type of energy, which is why some individuals have a nervous breakdown. It's that sister in church that one day you knew her, she was always about the Lord, and then one day something happened, and she just now walks like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hurts because she has children, and they can't understand why mommy doesn't connect with them. Does that make sense? And so when a person has had that type of a breakdown, you have to allow the God of miracles to come in.
Okay.
Because he's the only one that can now take their physical body and begin to regenerate.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because once nerves start to go bad, you start to feel tingling sensation. I think they call it diabetic neuropathy. You feel pain. It's sensitive to touch. It's so hot. And so it's those type of areas. And so it's just understanding that and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom. So the whole point that I would want you to take from this is the longer strength has been in your body, the harder the effect has. And so for somebody who has experienced a traumatic situation, the first place it starts to attack is the heart. And people start to have AFibs or arrhythmias or heart attacks and even stroke. And this is when stress has been in your body for very long periods of time. The next way it goes is the kidney. And then from the kidneys, it just starts traveling to every part of your body, and then sometimes it's hard to recover. And so it's like we keep praying for folks to say, come on, God is a healer. Our God is a healer. But sometimes we just really need to understand the physiology of what's really happening here. The body has to take time to regenerate. And so when we're saying God is a healer, we also have to say that, you know what, we begin to speak to certain parts of your body that cannot be regenerated. We ask that the God of miracles come forth to regenerate those areas so that you can begin to have life and more of it abundantly. It's just small things like that that you have to consider. When individuals are depressed, they are zapped out. So they think negative. Everything is negative. You can say something positive. You can prove to them that it's positive. It's going to be good. In their mind, it's still going to become bad. At the end of the day, you're going to still end up leaving. At the end of the day, you only doing this because you feel sorry for me. The enemy will project negative thoughts into their mind. And then it becomes stressful for them, and this is when they shut down. And it's not that they're not fighting. It's so hard to fight. So inside, they're behind gates, and they're saying, somebody come in and set me free.
Yeah.
But on the natural, it just looks.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that spirit, mind, and body connection. And so the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly in your spirit, your soul, as well as your body. Above all things, in the book of John, it says, to be in good health, even as your soul begins to prosper. And so when we speak to the soul of an individual, then what you'll end up seeing is that individuals will begin to get better. So, for example, I want to show you this. Okay. This is on page 5. And what this says is this. please let me know if I'm going too fast. Okay, here's the concept. The Bible in the book of John says it this way. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we jump down to the 14th verse, and it says, and the Word became flesh, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In the Greek, when the Greek are defining words, they just don't define it at one level, they define it at two levels. So it not only has a conventional definition, but it has a pictorial definition, and maybe sometimes a numerical definition. So when they take a word, that's the best way that they can sum it up. So in the beginning was the Word. The definition of that in the Greek means something said inclusive of a thought. So in the beginning, something was said inclusive of a thought, and something said inclusive of a thought was with God. Something said inclusive of a thought was God.
Mm.
Something said inclusive of a thought became flesh. Make sense? And it dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in the beginning was a thought, and the thought was with God, and the thought was God, and the thought became flesh. In the beginning was an idea, and the idea was with God, and the idea was God, and the idea became flesh. What am I saying? Thought, their purpose and destiny is to materialize, is to become something tangible that can be touched and felt, which is why every word that you speak as believers, its destiny is to materialize and to become something that people can touch, and we beheld its glory. But sometimes some of the stuff we speak is not begotten of the Father. And so we put it in the atmosphere, and it could be something as small and simple as I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have just been playing. Oh, I'm so silly. Man, why did I do that? Soon as you release that into the atmosphere, the enemy does everything he can to take your environment and make it so that you do silly things everywhere. You're silly in your car, you're silly on your job, you're silly at home, you're silly when you're talking to the cop. You see what I mean? Which is why you have to be very careful when you're speaking to your children and say, oh, you are just like your father. What does that mean? Did you like his father? Is his father a good person? Is the father bad? Because if you're saying that, then you are now the atmosphere is trying to make everything formulate that thought. Okay? And so a thought's destiny is to become tangible. I use this example all the time. Someone was sitting in their house and they said, you know what? I want to talk to somebody in another house. Guess what was created from that thought? That telephone. Somebody said, you know what? I want to talk to somebody in another house, but I want to be able to talk to them from another room. Guess what was created?
No,
not the cell phone, the long telephone cord. Hey, how you doing? Somebody was getting choked. You saw that long cord, right? Somebody had another thought.
Cool.
Said, I want to talk to somebody without everybody getting tangled up, and I have to keep buying these dumb wires. Cordless phone. Somebody had a bright idea and said, you know what? I have a thought. I want to be able to talk to somebody outside of my house. Then you got what?
The cell phone.
Not the cell phone, the big briefcase. It was a phone. And it walked up. Someone said, this is too big. I'm carrying this thing. I got two briefcases. One that has my Bible, and the other one that has this phone.
Yeah.
So they created what? The smaller phone, and the smaller phone. And it got flat, and now I want to do texting. I want to check the internet. All of that is a because the thought's purpose is to what?
Materialize.
Woo! All right. If that is the case, then this is where it enters into your soul. A thought has no power unless you give it to it. Give it power. Depression has no power unless you give it power. Stress has no power unless you give it power. You give it power, you feed it power, then it will materialize into what it needs to be so that it can stress you out. So what you have to do is grab those thoughts and begin to break them down. This is how it works. We are spirit, soul, and body. In our soul is made up of three components, mind, will, and emotions, okay? Your mind, will, and emotions. So here's the good news. You do not have to run from your emotions anymore.
Amen.
I wish I would be shouting. Because we are scared of our emotions. Don't act that way, or you shouldn't respond that way. No, your emotions was God-given. And if it was God-given, that means it has a purpose. The purpose of your emotion is for you and I to connect to one another. When I don't connect with you emotionally, that means I am apathetic.
Yeah.
And people who are apathetic are dangerous.
Yeah.
They are the type of individuals that you can die right in front of me.
Yeah.
And wouldn't even care.
Yeah.
These are individuals who can take a gun and shoot somebody. These are the individuals where the therapist is laying on the street with his hands up, working with his client, and the police shoot him as he's laying there, and then you ask the police officer what was going on, and his response was, I don't know. You have emotions. You don't have to shut them off. Your emotions were designed to help you gauge the situations that you are present with. That was the purpose of your emotion. So here's another brief example. So the amount of voltage that goes into this phone is not the same voltage that amount of voltage that goes into what? This building. Okay? So if the amount of electricity in this building would go into this phone, what would happen? It'll blow it up. Your emotions are the same way. Your emotions is just electrical energy. Depending on the situation, depends on the type of emotions you get. So, for example, when I'm angry, like I'm angry right now, so you can even tell because I've mastered my anger. And I'm not, I used to. It used to be different. My wife can tell you. No, this is my wife. I would take a table and flip it over because I was angry. And this wasn't in the street. The streets were straight. This was in a church meeting. I'm sitting there with other leaders, and they're saying negative stuff to me, and I'm trying to be calm. And I'm like, no. I know we're in this meeting, and I just want to share this point with you. Yeah, but I think that's stupid. Yeah, I know it sounds like that, but I just want to share this point with you. Yeah, I don't even know why you came up with that. Yeah, I know, but I'm just really sorry. Share my point. Then on top of that, I got to deal with Bishop.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to act that way.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on it. So once I started learning my anger, I learned how to control anger by knowing why I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
So when individuals come to me for counseling and they say they're angry, I say you don't have a right to be angry unless you can explain to me why you are angry. If you can't explain it to me, you can be angry.
Mm-hmm.
That makes them angry. And it makes me laugh because it's the truth. If you can't articulate the reason why I'm angry at this moment, it's because there's all this information, there's so much in me I want to give to you, and I don't have enough time, and I wish I could just spend 10 hours and it feel like 1 minute and giving all this stuff into me, and that makes me angry. See, it gives you an idea, and nobody gets hurt. And that's different from somebody being volatile. and being aggressive and violent. That's very different, okay? And so your emotions are there. Anxiety is an emotion. When anxiety rises up, the reason why it pops up is because you're worried about something, mm-hmm. or you have a slight fear that you won't be able to accomplish whatever you need to get accomplished. And as a result of that, it starts to make you anxious, and you start, you know, you're trying to sit still, and, and you're hot, and you stand up, you go outside, you take a breath of fresh air. Your emotions are there. And this is where you have to tell yourself, what is going on? What am I sensing that is causing me to feel this way? So, mind, will, and emotions is what you have. When you have a thought, the thought enters into your soul. It is just gas. That's all it is. It's just a thought. It's nebulous. It's there, but it has not materialized yet. Your mind's job is like the cop. It is supposed to screen when information comes in or when a thought comes in. Your mind says, this may be something we want to present to the judge, which is your will. Your will is the judge that makes a decision whether the thought is to materialize or not. So what happens is your will is what connects to the Spirit of God. When you choose God or you choose his way of thinking, he helps you process the thoughts that are coming in. Your mind brings in the thought. If your will accepts the thought, if the thought gets accepted, so for example, I have accepted that thought. Then get escorted to the emotional center, and the emotion and the thought now becomes one. The emotion becomes the capsule, and it takes the thought and it lodges it somewhere in your body. And we call that memory. I'll prove it to you. I want you to think about somebody that really irks your nerve. I want you to get them in your mind right now. And they're sitting, and I want you to imagine them sitting right next to you. And they want to borrow some money. Did you sense it? Now, for some people, where did you sense that at, that person? What part of your body started to tingle? Because for some people, it's different. Stomach. You said headache. Chest. You feel that? All of that is memory. All of that is a thought that has been accepted, and it lodges somewhere in their body. David says it this way. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not do what? Sin against you. And so when you're taking God's thoughts into your body, it gets lodged in those areas. And so it made your stomach churn. And so every time that person comes up in your mind, in your life, and they just keep showing up, and they ring your doorbell, and you heard the pastor say you need to forgive them, sister, and you forgive them, and they knock on your door, and you pray for them, and they betray you even more, and something inside of you, look at the inside of you, and troubles and boils, that thought becomes fortified. Thoughts get fortified, and it becomes a stronghold. And once it becomes a stronghold, it starts to react negatively. And if you become bitter, then the bitterness starts to eat away and become toxic inside of your body. My father told me in Trinidad, there was a plant that is so bitter that it produces its own worms. If a plant has that much power, and you are made in the image of the Most High God, Imagine what happens when his creative being started getting bitterness inside of the body. It eats away at your soul.
Yeah.
And it gets lodged there, which is why you have to bring every thought into activity.
Yes.
The Bible said, and I got that scripture here somewhere. I just want to read it because I'm so excited right now I can't even memorize it right. Casting down is on page 7. It says, casting down imagination, thoughts, and every high thing, thoughts that have materialized, that have exalted itself against what?
The knowledge of God.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So somebody tells you their mind is racing and they just can't get a hold of their thought, you should automatically be like, you can grab hold of your thought. Because the Bible says, bring into captivity every thought. There should never be a thought that crosses your mind that you cannot judge. And if you reject the thought, guess what happens?
It remains an emotion.
It remains emotionless, which means an emotion does not get attached to it, and it stays in a liable form, which means it just floats into the air. That does not stop it from coming back. You just have to keep on rejecting
it.
And the more you reject the thought, there's something inside of you then needs to be replaced. You start thinking of the goodness of what God's done for you. This is where you go into your Bible and you pull out scriptures that speak to that situation. We talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Well, the sword, in the Greek, it was a small dagger. And this dagger was made to be very precise, that when you take it from the back, you kill somebody, and you pull it out and you kill them, and it gives them a slow death. And so the word of God is like a double-edged sword, and you have to use the right type of scripture and words to speak to your situation. And so if you're depressed, you find scriptures on depression. If you're grieving, you find scriptures on grieving. If you are stressed out, you find scriptures on stress and anxiety. If there's a financial concern, you find scriptures on finances. These are the things that you have to do. You have to begin to search the scriptures. You have to go line by line, precept by precept. You have to find the right word that's going to comfort your soul. And then when you connect with the Almighty God, because it's hidden in your heart, when God charges that word inside of you, then it's going to give you power and strength.
It will. Yes, it will.
So, I said all of that to say this.
It will.
Your will is what decides whether you get to accept the thought or reject the thought. Okay? So, I wanted to let me go back up. I wanted to share this with you guys. All right. So this is a simple chart. We're on page 4, and this is a simple chart. This was actually in the book of Search of Significance. And what it says is this, your situation, remember, stress has no power unless you give it. A situation has no power unless you give it power or meaning. Anxiety has no power. Mental illness has no power unless you give it. And it's not saying that it doesn't exist. It's just saying you don't have to give it power. Here's your biblical example. It is 2017. Am I correct? Does Egypt exist today?
Yeah.
So you can go to Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Are the children of Israel in Egypt?
No.
The children of Israel are not in Egypt because according to the Bible, Moses delivered them from Egypt, right? But it's 2017 and Egypt is still here, right? So God can deliver you from something, but he doesn't have to take it away.
Right.
See what I mean? You just got to know that you are free. You just got to know it. And it's going to be based off of your belief. Your belief system is the key to all of this. What you believe determines the type of thoughts you will produce and have. Thus, it will tell you what type of emotions you are exhibiting, and it will also show you your actions or your behaviors on what you are presenting. So, for example, do you believe God's truth about a situation, or do you believe Satan lies? Do you believe the illusions that Satan throws at you? Do you? What is it that you believe about certain situations, okay? And so let me do it this way. You have, so on in your packet,
Page six,
you have the filling wheel. You have the filling wheel on page six. And we'll start there.
Oh my God.
And so you have the feeling wheel. And so what we tend to do is emotions and feelings are the same. If you're not sure what you believe, you start at what you are feeling. And you have to be able to explain and articulate. So, like, I put this feeling wheel here on page six so that you can begin to expand on your vocabulary emotionally. You have to move beyond simple words of I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm mad. You have to be able to articulate that, okay? You have to be able to go beyond, because if you can't, then you're going to get stuck, okay? You can't just say, well, how do you feel today? I feel good. I'm okay. I don't know what that means. Because when I hear okay, when people say that okay, they're putting on a mask. And what people need to understand is when I say that I'm feeling okay, you are going to take that as there's nothing wrong with you, so I'm going to move on. Now, you won't get mad because I didn't go deeper in asking you what's going on in your life. You see what I mean? Which is why you have to say, you know what, today is not a good day for me. You know, I'm still grieving the loss of a loved one that is so important to me, and people are just telling me to get over it. And I don't understand how am I supposed to get over it. Well, let me tell you something about grief. Grief works this way. Clinically, a person should grieve from 3 to 6 months and be done with it. Here's the problem. That only works if you started the grieving process. If you have not started the grieving process accurately, then you're going to continue to grieve, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Because what grieving does not take into account is if I lost my son, I didn't take into account that Thanksgiving was coming up. I didn't take into account his birthday was coming up. I didn't take into account other factors like anniversaries or the day that he won a sports championship. Those type of memories, those type of thoughts are lodged within. And usually you'll feel grief right about here.
Yes.
Something lost. It's a deep talk. And sometimes it gets so heavy, it's so hard to speak and to put into words. You see what I mean? You allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself permission to say, you know what? I love this person. Me and my wife, we lost our second son. His name was David Ezekiel. I did his funeral. I held him in my hands until his heart stopped. I had to watch him go. Now, I'm a bishop, right? You would think a prayer would go through, correct? Well, I prayed to God. And one thing I am sure about, God heard my prayer. He honored my prayer and considered my prayer, yet he made an executive decision that this was the best for the world. Now, I will never know why, yet I can still ask God, God, what was the purpose that he had to go early? You see what I mean? I had to deal with the fact that after we had the baby, they kicked us out of the hospital. I'm watching my wife sit there on the corner of a curb, barely can move, and nobody was consulting us because, one, they needed the bed for another baby to be born.
Yeah.
I had to deal with the fact that when other people were having babies, who I've become judgmental, because didn't think was so righteous, and they got to keep theirs while we couldn't keep ours. See, you got to consider all of that. All of that is part of the grieving process. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? And so when we got invited to baby showers, my wife would say, I don't feel like going. Now, I could be like, Kuma, why are you acting like that? You should get over this by now. He's gone. He never come back. No. That's cool. I don't have to go to them and make up no excuse. Yeah, we're not coming to your baby shower because, you know, we got to go to a ball. No. We're not ready to deal with it. We don't want to be a damper on your part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't articulate that, it puts you in a negative space.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give yourself permission to talk about those who love, that you love, and those that who have missed on.
Yeah.
You also got to take a look at what was that connection meaning to you. Have you given more place or connection to that person opposed to God? And I know that's a hard concept to stomach, but think about it. There are a lot of people who have passed on, and I did a lot of cases where women were depressed because their mother died, and their mother meant the world to them. But yet, when the mother left, they are so angry and hurt because the first thing you hear them say is, but you promised you would never leave. That was the lie from the beginning. They have to die.
Yes.
They have to die and move on.
Yes.
And because they made their mother the crutch, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, they have nothing else to lean on.
Right.
So it's going to be hard for them to connect to God when they have been connecting to their mother the whole time.
Yes.
And you have to allow individuals permission to understand that and to work through it. So the Christmas holidays coming up, Thanksgiving's coming up, and people don't celebrate holidays anymore. Why? Because the ones that they love are not there. And so yet you have to now begin to embrace the death or embrace the loss and allow new meaning to come. So I would encourage anybody that if you love someone and if they died and moved on, don't dismiss it. Do something to celebrate them. When my son died on a date of October 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And he was expected to be born in February 28th.
Mm-hmm.
On February 28th, I took off that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to my wife's job, and I spent the day with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why? So that I apply a new meaning to the situation. It didn't dismiss the fact that David was gone. It was just adding new meaning that I'm here for support. You see what I mean? Do something different. Lift up balloons, write letters, go to the grave if that's your thing. Do whatever you need to do. If it's cremated, speak. And if you're angry at God, tell him, God, I'm angry at you. But then prepare yourself when he responds back. But know when he responds back, he's always going to respond back in love.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Amen.
And so it's belief. It's your belief system that you need to look at. You got the feeling will. And you have to, and when you're looking at your belief system, you must also begin to replace it with God's truth, is what I'm saying. The enemy's job is to lie to me and you. That's his job. He is to lie to you. He is going to take a simple situation and get you to feel horrible about yourself. The enemy is not your friend. The enemy doesn't like you. The enemy does not want you to attain the riches and glory that God has for you, which is why the enemy does everything he can to manipulate you so that he can use you to get his agenda done. And so you have to look at that. So, for example, a lie of Satan, we're on page 8. So this is where I was telling you about the biblical words, like propitiation, justification, reconciliation, regeneration. Regeneration says this: I am absolutely complete in Christ. I am what I am and I cannot change. That's the lie. I'm hopeless, and it produces shame. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You are complete in Christ. So when God says you are regenerated, what he is saying to you is when you accepted him as Lord and Savior, he took your DNA and you got baptized and submerged in water, you died. Galatians 2:20 says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You can stop right there. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives with me. And the life that I now live, I live with what? Faith in him who gave himself up. And so if you are dead, then that means Christ has regenerated your body. So that means when you accepted him, you have been grafted into his body. And as a result of that, the blood now runs through your veins. Which is why every time you take communion, it's like a booster shot.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to remind you or bring back to remembrance the memory of what he has done on the cross.
Yeah.
So that when you are going through dialysis or you are going through a cancer treatment, you can say, I have been crucified with Christ. There's no longer I who live. And so I'm victorious over this. Dialysis will not beat me. Diabetes will not take me out. High blood pressure won't stop me. A heart attack won't kill me. When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go because I have been crucified with Christ. And I have been regenerated. And it does not mean that I will not experience the symptoms of those things at times. But then the thought comes into memory and it builds power and momentum. And it reminds me that Christ died so that I can do what? That's how you learn, though, which is why these words become important. Propitiation is just a simple word that says this: Christ was the only appropriate sacrifice. Why? Because our blood was tainted. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was nothing we could do about it. Everybody's reward, you could pay the price. You could pay the price of sin. And your payment was death.
Yeah.
But that made God sad. Because if we all paid the price of death, we would never be able to be with him in the end. Which is why Christ had to be the appropriate sacrifice, because he had no sin. And therefore, when he died, the Father was able to raise him back. There was nothing stopping him. He can always present himself to the Father because he had no sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And you have that same power lodging inside of you. But the enemy is going to attack your mind and your thoughts and keep you distracted with depression, stress, anxiety, mental illness, fear, death, work, anything. He's going to do whatever he can to keep you from realizing that Christ was the appropriate sacrifice and God is no longer angry with me. But God is angry with the sin. And he looks at me with loving eyes and he does everything he can to make sure that I don't continue to sin. That's what these type of words mean. So when you hear redemption or you hear atonement, you should quickly go look them up and say, well, what does that really mean? It means that you now belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. Okay? Confession. Confession says this. This is page 9. Page 9. Confession says this. Confession is this definition. It's agreeing with God concerning the specific sin we are convicted of and claiming forgiveness. So, for example, we have forgiveness because Christ died to pay for our sin. That's Hebrews 10:17. Your confession is, when I confess my sins, I'm agreeing with God concerning the sin. So when God presents something, when Holy Spirit presents an issue to you, it is your job to either agree, you know, it's your job to agree with God. And then begin to make the appropriate adjustments so that you can be made whole.
Amen.
Repentance says this, turning away from sin and turning to God, which means you can do anything except the 360. You can do a 359 as long as not a 360. You can do a 358 as long as it's not a 360. And obedience isn't a hard thing. It was never meant to be harsh. Obedience just says this, I choose to act in a way that honors God daily.
Amen.
Thus, I enjoy the fellowship with God. Obedience is our expression of our love for him. So I have at the bottom on page 9, you see a thing called experiencing God. This is where this book comes into play. And what it simply says is this. Experiencing God says, it says this. Yeah, this book says there are 7 steps that you can actually take in experiencing God. You can, the first step is to know that God is always at work around you. 2, God is always pursuing a loving relationship with you that is real and personal. 3, God invites you to become involved in what he is doing, in his work, his assignment. 4, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. God is in hiding. 5, God's invitation for you to work with him is going to lead you to a crisis of belief, which means your belief system has to line up with what God is saying, his thoughts, which is why reading your Bible daily becomes important, because God wants you to know how he thinks. Those who are not saved, they're not going to understand the word of God, and Corinthians says that. They have a veil over their eyes, and so they're not able to see it. But when you said, Lord, I want you to save me, Lord, I want you to be the Lord over my life, the veil has been lifted. Now the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. You see what I mean? And so, and your crisis of belief is going to require faith, and it's going to require action. Once you get a solid belief system, what you believe, you're standing on God's word and you're ready to enact on it, the next thing you have to do is make adjustments. So when I got the revelation of depression and it was the chair, I made the adjustment. I moved the chair out, got rid of it, threw it out my house. So where were you sitting at? On the floor. And I sat on the floor because it wouldn't keep me in one spot. I opened up the window blind. I made adjustments. I started opening up my soul to people that I trusted, that I knew would have my best interest at heart, that showed me concern, that would say, look, let's go to lunch. What's going on? That would not allow me to lie or put on a mask, that put the mask off every time I put it on, who didn't make me feel shame but made me feel loved. I did the hardest thing. I started opening up to my wife. A lot of marriages result in divorce because the husband don't know how to communicate to the wife. We just want to say it one time. She wants to hear the details of the one time. I didn't know how to articulate the details of the one time. And so I had to sit there and learn how to articulate. And I still get it wrong, but yet I'm still willing to open up. And the hardest part of it for me is when she has to call me out on it. Nah, that ain't it, bruh. And as much as I want to... I sit right here. That ain't it. And I want to... And yet I got to sit there. And then the Holy Spirit asked, what did she say that was wrong? Oh, man. Now I got to go through that, and I got to go back and, honey, I apologize. I was wrong. Now, you can go from step one to step 7. All you have to do is just obey. When God tells you to do it, just do it. Trust him on it. Trust him on it. Trust his timing. Don't rush it. And if you have to make the adjustment, make the adjustment. Do it spiritually, emotionally and physically. Started hitting the gym, and I had to. I'm in a hospital with AFib, and I'm sitting up here like, God, what's happening? Well, your life is sedentary. Make the adjustment. Well, what do I do? Start walking. What do I do? Try to drink more water. Goodbye, Pepsi. I love you, Pepsi. But you got to make the adjustment. You got to. If it's the diabetes, take the medicine. Take the medicine. Pray over the medicine that the side effect does not arise. That's how much power you got. God, we remove every side effect that's in it. This medicine has to do what it was created to do. And then once you make the adjustment, start doing the other thing. Change the way you eat. Watch what you eat at night. It's just those small things. Take note of when you're eating. Do you eat before you go to bed? Are you really hungry at 6 o'clock or at 12? If you're not hungry at 6, then eat at 12. Well, they say you got to have 3 meals a day. Well, if your body's saying you only need one, then listen to it. Because it knows. And then the last part that I want to close with you guys. Seven places where Christ shed his blood. It's not just this book, it's in the Bible. Anytime resurrection season comes around, you should be excited to know that Christ paid a price for your sin. You do not have to be stressed. I don't have to talk about stress all the time because you all know what it is. What I need to talk to you about is that God has given us a remedy to fight the stress. And when you said I do to the Father, and you allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, which is a gift inside of you, now you have the power to be able to fight anything that comes your way. The Bible made it very clear, and if somebody can't fight because they don't have the strength, then you fight for them. And you ain't got to do an outrush on the name of Jesus. No.
That's it.
How you doing? Is there anything I can look what I'm doing? Is there anything I can get you? Is there anything I can get you, baby? You need some water or something? All right. I'm good.
Pull in your prayer card. You know what I mean?
When they're not there, anoint the door, anoint the bed. You have those tools to speak life. Materialize the thought. Put them into words. No, I see you being free. I see you being delivered. I see you being healed. I see you walking in wholeness. I see that. I see your grandchildren being productive. I see your great-grandchildren being able to change the face of this world. I can speak and prophesy that because I see, I have a thought, and I put it into the atmosphere. Then you watch the earth, then you watch these angels coming and begin to war in your eyes. The angels need work to do. They want to be put to work. And if you're speaking everything that aligns itself with the word of God, you're going to watch shit happen right in your own room. And all of this is because there's still power in the blood of Jesus.
Yes, it is.
But if you don't know that,
yes, it is.
You walk defeated.
Yes.
Christ didn't die a punk death.
Yes,
he just didn't get up here on the cross and die. If he wanted to die, he could have did it as a baby. You know what? I just need to be born. We'll wait for Herod to bring him. No, he suffered, and it was so bad that he had to go to God in prayer and say, God, if it is your will to remove this cup, move this cup, but nevertheless, nevertheless,
all right,
never going to settle for less.
All right.
Nevertheless, I want the more of God.
Yes.
And therefore, when I'm getting the more of God, I'm going to allow God to get the glory. This is why the Bible says, please, your Father, that this is being done.
Yes.
And so Christ died in every area everything has been covered. You have been covered. And God has sent me here to tell you all of this so that you will not walk defeated, but you will live victorious life.
Close
it out. Close it out. Close it out. They put a crown of thorns on his head, which means you don't have to sweat by your brow anymore. You don't have by the brow your sweat, whatever it is. Anyway, the thorn is on you. It's covered. It's covered. You don't have to have anxious thoughts. Your mind is covered in the blood. That's what the thorns represented. From inner hurts, he took a spear. And out came blood and water.
Yes.
Which means that when somebody gets on your nerves, you should be dead to that. That they can take a spear and stab you right in your heart. And what they'll see is that you are covered in Christ.
Yes.
And then there's water that comes out to let them know that you've given them new life.
Right.
Your hands and your feet. Whatever you put your hands to, if you commit yourself to God, commit your hands. Storm. And wherever your feet go, you are taking dominion in those areas. And then his back, by his stripes, we were. By his stripes, we are. That's the Old Testament and the New. By his stripes, we were. So which means it's a done deal.
Yes, it is.
You just have to access it and close everything that will cause you to miss the mark.
Right.
And then he was punched, and he had contusions, which means that blood was shed internally that covered those generational iniquities. And so that means whatever grandma, granddad passed down is covered.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Yes, it is.
I'm no longer in bondage to it. And when I hear mama say, oh, you're going to be like that because I have it, I quickly say, I love you, mama, but the devil is a lie.
That's it.
Oh, if you want it, you go on and have it. But as for me and my
house.
God, we thank you tonight, oh God. God, we thank you tonight for these people I have in Father. Oh God, we just stir up the gifts in each and every one of them, oh Heavenly Father. Oh God, we pray for the oldest as well as the youngest, oh Heavenly Father. God, begin to fortify, oh God, the eldest in the room, oh God, all the way down to the youth, the Heavenly Father. We pray for the youth even now, oh God. They have choices. God, they don't see you as being God in their lives. They don't know how you fit. They heard about you. They're in Sunday school, but you're not real to them. God, it is our prayer, oh God, for every youth in this room, oh God, in this city, oh God, that they will begin, oh God, to see you to be real in ways that has never happened before, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Oh God, I cancel every assignment of
this. Yes.
Yes. I speak against bipolar, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
I speak against depression, oh God.
Yes.
I speak against schizophrenia, oh God. I speak against generational mental illness, oh God.
We break it in the name of Jesus.
God, you said you
come against it in the name of
child of thorns on your head, oh God, to cover that. They are covered by your blood, oh God.
Yes,
oh God,
Lord.
I pray that the blood would just begin to cover the mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Oh
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
I pray that they would have peace in their souls.
Yes,
now,
Lord.
Oh God.
Even now, Lord.
23, you were restore their soul.
Yes.
I thank you for what you're doing in them even now, oh God. God, I pray for everyone that's grieving, oh God. Teach us how to grieve with them. Oh God, teach us how to walk with them.
Yes, Lord.
Teach us,
yes,
oh God, the right words to say.
Yes, Lord.
Just
yes,
don't
Lord.
Let words come out of our mouth that are abusive and will cause more harm.
Teach us
to be gentle, oh God. Oh God, for anybody that has anxiety in the room, my Heavenly Father, you said perfect love cast away all fear. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your perfect love even now.
Even
we don't
now,
fear
Lord.
Punishment because we are the redeemed of the Lord.
Yes.
So we know where we are going. We know who is our Father.
Yes,
we know who is the God of righteousness.
Yes.
We know who is in our heart.
Yes,
so I pray for every woman that's in a relationship that is bad, oh God.
Yes.
I pray that you begin even now to reverse that, of Heavenly Father.
Yes.
No more domestic violence, oh God. No more physical abuse, oh God. No more emotional abuse, oh God. I pray that they know their worth, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We speak life to them even now, oh God.
Yes.
I pray that every negative word that comes their way will fall on deaf ears.
Yes,
I pray that they don't hear it the same. But I pray that they begin to hear that they are loved and adored by you even now,
yes,
oh God.
Yes,
oh, I pray for men, oh God,
to begin, oh God, picking up the plow and walking in the area that you have called them to walk in mightily, Heavenly Father. Oh God, as they begin to set their house in order, oh God, begin to be priests in the home, oh God, and make the sacrifices of Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that they make a covenant with their eyes, not to lust after another woman, Heavenly Father. God, you are an awesome God.
Yes, you are, God.
Oh God, we even pray for this house, oh God. We thank you for releasing blessings and Zion, oh Heavenly Father.
Yes.
To open up a door of opportunity to happen tonight, oh Heavenly Father.
Yes.
God, I thank you for what you're going to continue to do. God, you give them rest tonight, Heavenly Father. We stand in the gap for each and every individual here, our Heavenly Father. We can take it, oh God, and we can take it because we know that we are in you, our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
You give them safe travels even now, oh God. Wherever the pain hits, our Heavenly Father, you allow it to subside, oh God. Or may it draw them closer to you in ways that they have never drawn before. May they see you in a different light even now, our Heavenly Father. May they walk accordingly to how you have created and how you saw them when you made them. And I thank you, Father, and we bless you, Father, and we say we love you, God, and we say we thank you, oh God.
We thank you, Lord.
We just say thank you.